Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We also meet on the second and fourth Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. for Bible study, prayer, and fellowship. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Wow, this is a day the Lord has made. I'm going to be glad and rejoice in it. How about you? We've been working on a series for this last few weeks, and I think the Lord's going to tell us I think it's going to really define some things for us today. We're going to go into the oldest book of the Bible. Many of you will not believe this, but Job is the oldest book in the Bible. We're going to read a snapshot of what Job went through in the course of one day. And then we're going to talk about understanding and living in two different worlds. We're going to start with Job chapter 1, verses 11, and you'll find the responding verses on the screen behind me. "But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." Now, there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And when the Sabaeans raided them, they took them away. Indeed, they have killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, talk about a bad day. Another came also and said, "The Chaldeans formed three bands, raided the camels, took them away, yes, and killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone escaped to tell you." And suddenly a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they are dead, and I alone escaped to tell you. And he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Verse 22, "And in all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong." Let's pray. Lord, we have a lot to cover, and Lord, I think this will kind of be introductory in several different ways. Because Lord, whether we realize it or not, we live in two different worlds, and simultaneously we experience a lot of things, and we don't know where to lay the blame, or we don't know where to give the glory. But Lord, as living in such a way as a disciple of Jesus Christ, there's much we need to learn about the will of God and those things that are accidental, those things that are providential. And I pray, God, that just in these few moments, I can just paint a picture or at least let people know to understand that it's not probably what they thought it was, but maybe it's even greater than they could imagine it could have been. And I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that we as the disciples of Jesus would come to a place of realizing that today we have the power of the Holy Spirit that lives and resides inside of us that can change the atmosphere here by his presence abiding in our lives day after day. Holy Spirit, be our teacher today. We'll be careful to give you all the praise, the honor, and glory, for we ask all these things in the powerful name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. I want to give just a little bit of an introduction about the Job story, because I won't refer to it that much in my message today. As I said, Job is the oldest book in the Bible, and if you know anything about history or if you know anything about theology, the most important thing is, if you want to find solid theology, you go to the law of first mention. That means when it was first mentioned someplace, it sets a precedence over what you should believe. And so Job, the further part of this story is he's interceding for his family constantly. He's praying, God, just take care of my kids and take care of my resources. He's a man before God that really has done, I think he did just about everything right. And then you have this part of the story that really doesn't make sense. Because the devil kind of makes a deal with God to ruin his life. I don't care how you want to cut it. I don't care how you want to look at it. It's in the Bible. And this is the oldest book of the Bible. I want to bring you into the reality of what you're suffering right now may not be all that you thought it was, because you live in two different worlds. There's a natural world and there's a spiritual world, and somehow we have not learned how to deduce between the two, and we find ourselves completely frustrated. Now, there's a point to this, and I don't want you to lose you in this, because Jesus has brought those two worlds together when he came as God in the flesh, and he conquered death, hell, and the grave. That's a good part of the story, but some of you are somewhere in that particular place. So, well, how does it work for me? So in that course of that day, bad day, Job lost everything that was really important to him. Then if you read the story a little bit further, he loses his health, and then his wife says, I got a great idea. Why don't you curse God and die? That was wonderful. And so it seems like Job is standing alone. Now, here's my introduction to where we're going to go today. Hopefully, it will help you to kind of deduce some things of what we're going to talk about. First of all, somehow the lure of technology, technological advances, and our ability to do, see, and know things almost instantaneously has removed us from the reality that we live in two distinct realms, the natural and the spiritual. The spiritual realm has been hijacked by media and other paranormal experiences that depict life as a stage on which we play assigned roles to fate and destiny, dictated by circumstances, situations, and choices that are beyond our control. That's a profound statement, I think. But let me apply these three things that we're going to talk about today. Number one. Have you ever deemed yourself as helpless and unable to break free from something you knew was evil and beyond your control? I mean, you tried programs, you tried enrolling in this, enrolling in that, but you find yourself just kind of on default and lapsing back to the very same thing you thought you were going to get rid of. Don't raise your hand. I know you're struggling. Let me go on to number two. Are you reluctant and unwilling to face the issues that confront you as a believer in Jesus? Some of the songs I grew up with was, by and by when the morning comes, all the saints of God will gather home, we'll tell the story and how we overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. I want to understand it better here and now. I need to figure it out today because of the misery and the pain that we go through. How about number three? Are you aware of your spiritual authority or the spiritual authority that you possess over the power of the enemy that was granted to you by Jesus? That's the big question. Because God has not left you helpless or in a particular place where you have no resource or you have no ability to change some of the things that are going through. And now, it's not you, it's the power of the Holy Spirit in you. And so we got to rush into this particular factor and look at some things that I believe that will change your outlook. Well, first of all, Jesus will be with us no matter what the circumstances. Somebody say amen. Isaiah 59:19, this is in the Old Testament. Let's look at this first scripture. Isaiah 59:19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Hallelujah. Now, I want to do something I'm not going to plagiarize it, but I'm going to use the same wording up here. But when the enemy comes, put a comma there. Or when he comes in. Or when he comes. In. Comma. Like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Changes the whole meaning. Because sometimes you're so concerned of what the devil's doing, you're not concerned about what God's going to do. I want to move your eyes off the devil and put your eyes upon God, who can come in like a flood and wipe out everything he's decided to do to destroy your life. I want to let you know that God is more powerful than there's no weapon formed against you that will prosper, that God can help you today. Come on, work with me. He, God, has all this power available. Well, living in a Western culture, we have the ability to see ourselves living in two different realms of existence. We're seemingly aware of our five senses. But I want to let you know, beyond those senses that we have, rationalism seems to cripple our ability to think things that we cannot. Rationalism cripples our ability to think of things, not to be able to think of things that we cannot Google. In other words, we can't Google it ain't real. If you want to know the answer, Google it. Google ain't going to do nothing for you. Only the Spirit of God. It can tell you how pitiful you are, but it won't fix you. You say, well, no, I got the answer for that. Whatever. We minimize the need of spiritual power to overcome obstacles and traps that are set for us by the enemy. I need to let you know there has been a trap set for you today. Someone may cut you off in traffic on your way home and you lose everything you learned today from me. I'm working with you right now. Because he says, well, I know how to get them. They got all this, they're going to be real spiritual today, you know, or somebody will say something to you, or you go out to a restaurant and they're not treating you like you need to be treated. Your sanctification will leave you. Work with me, folks. We minimize the need of spiritual power to overcome the obstacles and the traps that have been set for us. Well, we give little credence to demons and angels and only focus on those things that can be accessed through the internet or global news network. What does that mean? I'm not here to demonize you or look for angels everywhere, you know, your guardian angel, that type of thing. But I need to let you know you're living in two separate worlds. And be aware of it. I'll give you some practical examples in a minute, and I think you'll understand what I'm saying. Well, the power of words is often marginalized. Now, I appreciate what Elder Lee said a little bit ago about the idea of your words and the fact that you have power to bless and to say and empower folks, or you can curse. So you folks will never amount to anything. I don't know why you even came today. Is that right? But you know what I see out there? I see potential of God overtaking your life from things you've been struggling all your life and God setting you free. That's what I see today. Oh, I may have come in here with struggling, but you know, I'm going to leave here a victory in Christ Jesus because that's what God said was going to happen to me. Come on. Blessings and cursings seems to have little impact on the direction our lives are headed. You say, oh, yeah, that's just all a bunch of foolishness and this type of thing. You know, I've heard that. You say, God bless you, and God bless you too. Wait a minute. God has given us the power to impart life. Here's what the Word of God says. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. That same tongue that can curse can bless. Under the power of the Holy Spirit can change your whole atmosphere and your destiny. And I speak life over every person in this room that your life is going to prosper today. What's it? You don't have power to do that. Yes, I do. Oh, yes, I do. Supernatural powers, which include Satan's kingdom, are oftentimes skipped over. What does that mean? Well, the Bible says this, setting our minds on things above is not an invitation to escape the relevance or impact of things that we will experience from day to day. Colossians 3, 1 and 2. Now, this is the Word of God, okay? If you were raised with Christ, seek things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Let me work with the if. If you were raised with Christ. Everybody that's saved, raise your hand. Wave it at me. Are you happy about it? Yeah. All right. So it says if you have been raised with Christ, Seek the things which are above. Why are you so looking so earthly down here? You need to be looking up to Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Depression, discouragement, all kind of disillusionment, all those D's. Kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but the Bible says it's righteousness, peace, and joy. I want to get all the D's out of your life and get you to the righteous, peace, and joy. But here's the deal. The power that we have, we are reminded that what we experiencing in this earth every day is not all there is to it. Make this one reference to Job. He lost everything. But somehow he got a focus. He says, you know, the Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now you say, well, that's kind of a way to kind of, you know, marginalize things or whatever. But he says, naked I came from my mother's womb, naked I shall return. But here's the part I want to pick up in verse 20 says, then Job arose from and tore his robe, shaved his head, fell to the ground, and he did one thing. Worshipped. There is never a valid reason, regardless of what goes on in your life, for you not to worship God. Remember David, after he committed a terrible sin with Bathsheba and this type of thing, he's found out, and Nathan says, thou art the man, and he confesses that he's done this thing wrong, and the child that Bathsheba had, he became ill. He prays, and he fasts, and he does all those type of thing, and the child dies. Do you know what the first thing that David did was? He worshiped God. I know it's tough when tears are streaming down your face. I know it's tough when your heart is broken. I know it's tough when you feel like there's no end to it. But you know what? God has given us the power and the ability beyond your pain to be able to worship him because he's still good. I don't care. It may not feel good, but he's still good. And you have to change your perspective on this. Well, there's so much to be learned from this, but God's trying to teach us something. Now, when we are raised up with Christ, we have access to things that are in heaven as well as on earth. Our mind should be allowed to focus on the things of heaven as well as the things on earth. Now, here's the thing that you pray. If you pray the prayer of the disciples' prayer, Lord's prayer, whichever way you want to define it. Thy will, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in. Is everything going all right in heaven? So when you declare that, you're saying, well, then your kingdom come like it is in heaven, let it come on earth. You're making a prophetic statement saying, well, God, your will be done. Your will's being done in heaven. Bring it down to earth. Bring it down to me right now because I need your will being performed in my life right now, here, right now. Amen. That's an open invitation. Stop living like the person next door. Stop living like a sitcom. Stop living like Days of Our Lives. Young and the Restless. I've never seen them, by the way. But I know some of you used to record them, and when you got home, you sit down and conviction's coming. But you know, I said, you'll never do it, but you'll watch people who do. There's something weird about that. When you vicariously live in some, well, I'm going to leave that alone because that's not my subject today. We must allow the Holy Spirit to do some things. Well, Jesus operated in the spiritual realm while he was here by exercising his authority over demons. Now, I promised you something, and I'm going to keep my promise. I'm not here to do a sermon on demons. But I'll tell you one thing. When Jesus encountered a demon, he did not argue with them. He dismissed them. He said, get behind me. Even when the demon took over, you know, Peter's speech, he says, oh, Lord, this shall never happen. He says, get behind me, Satan. I said, what? You know what it tells me? You can be on fire for God one moment and you can be the devil's tool the next. You know why? Because you can move between those two worlds in a moment's notice. I'm going to give you a remedy for this, but I'm just kind of setting you up for what things we've experienced. Well, we must allow the realm of the Holy Spirit to take over our lives. Supernatural healing often took place with Jesus. Now, what makes something supernatural? Ever thought about that? Well, something we don't see naturally, or it's kind of super, I guess. But I want to bring it home to you. These are terms that we use, but it doesn't necessarily display the real truth of what happens with something supernatural to us. Do you know that God has commanded or extended to each believer? He says, these signs shall follow those who are pastors. What does the book say? Those who believe. That means that the Holy Spirit can come upon you as a believer, and you can be God's agent of righteousness to bring forth healing supernaturally to someone without having to go to healing school. Now, I used to think it was in the phrase, in the name of Jesus, come up. You got to contort your face. Wrestle it out of them. Then there's the one that'll grease your head like a pig. Jesus. Pour the oil on it. More oil. Oil don't heal, folks. It's the power of God that heals. And the Bible says the signs shall follow those who believe. You know something? You could move from this regular, everyday world where you're walking down the street, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and someone says, you know, I need someone to pray with me. I'm going through a real difficult problem. And, you know, I've had this happen to me, and it's happened here in this church. So I said, well, you know, Pastor, I'm going here today, and I got a little bit of a part with my doctor, and I've got cancer, and I need him. And I said, in the name of Jesus, God's going to bless you. God's a healer in the name of Jesus. Do you know God healed that woman from cancer? He said, what? Cancer is not a problem for God. It's a problem for us, but it's not a problem for God, because when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, he can use you to the level of your faith of believing him that he's going to do what you ask him to do. What does that mean? Well, he had power over the elements. Now, I don't suggest. Now, here's the thing. I realize this. There's some things happening in our world. There's a severe drought in California. And there's a severe snow on the East Coast. I must admit that I have to keep myself in check, because my daughter, Tiffany, she lives on the East Coast. She lives in Boston. They have got 72 inches of snow this year. 72. Now, I remember when she left, she says, Daddy, I'm moving to East Coast. I ain't never coming back to Portland, because Portland got such terrible weather. It rains all the time. And every time I call her home, I say, hey, baby, how's the snow? Get your shovel, baby. Oh, it's minus 2 degrees? Oh, honey, it was 52 today, and we had a lovely time. See, that's that evil part of me coming out. But my point in saying all of this is that God, you say, well, people have been praying, that they've been doing the rain dance down in California, and people are doing the snow dance. Snow, go away. But I want to let you know that God, that Jesus does have, and when it serves a purpose of the kingdom, he will do things that are supernaturally that will defy anyone's logic. He has a way of being able to walk on the sea and turn the sea into a sidewalk. It's by the power of his word. By the way, there is nobody that can walk on water. The only thing you can walk on is the word. When God says come to you, it doesn't matter whether it's ice, snow, water, whatever. Air, God can make you walk. When he says come, it's going to change. It's going to happen. We got to have the matter of fact, the word is what brings us into a relationship with God. We must learn to believe and expect the same influence and impact that Jesus had on things around him. Can I come to your world for a moment? I want you to stop for a moment and do this one thing. I want you to just think on the one thing that you think is so impossible that you think will never happen in your life. It didn't take long for somebody to say, I'll never get out of debt. I'll never get out of debt. I'll never do this. That's just impossible. It's not going to happen. Okay? As your faith, so believe. Or what about if God may say to you, if you put your trust in me, all things are possible. Many of us are living under oppression by our own doing. We're living under our own curse. We're living under our own illusion. But God's about to do something. Let me just fast forward into a particular realm. I wrote down some things. I think it'll be helpful to you. Well, we must allow the power of the Holy Spirit within us to reveal to us the things that are going on in the spiritual realm and take our authority. Somebody give me a good amen right there. Amen. I'm just going to give you a few circumstances, and I found myself in them, so I'm not going to confess that, I've never done that before. Look at this. We must be willing to ask questions about the things that should not be. Now, remember, we have a situation where we know ahead of time, unfortunately, Job didn't know it, that God had released Satan with permission to, he said, you can touch anything you want, but you can't take his life. That would have been nice to know. But what about this? Ask this question. Is this difficult situation just happening, or is there more to it than that? Que sera, sera, what will be. Really? If you want to live on that Pollyanna syndrome, go ahead. But you know something? I got news to say, you know what? Something about this doesn't seem right. Because God to change the atmosphere of my situation, and there seems like there's been an invasion upon my life, and I need to take authority over what's going on. The problem is we've learned to just kind of let it go. Oh, well, I guess that's the way it's supposed to be. Let me get a little more personal with it. Another thing I wrote down. Where did this bad mood come from? Don't raise your hand on this one because we don't want to know how unspiritual you are. But have you ever woke up in a bad mood? In the middle of the day, nothing can be done right. You're just in a bad mood. Don't stay away from me. Don't say nothing to me. Don't touch me. I'll get through this. But just stay away. I want to let you know that your emotions can be hijacked. That your process to be all that God wants you to be can be totally devastated. If you then be risen with Christ, keep seeking those things that are above, for Christ sits at the right hand side of God the Father. Here's another one. Is my lack of zeal or joy part of my personality, or is it something else? We have written off sometimes that people that go to church, they're kind of exuberant. Oh, they're just kind of exuberant. That's just not how I roll. Really? Or could it be there's a carryover of things that have happened in your life you've adopted the philosophy, he who expects nothing shall never be disappointed. Doesn't that sound spiritual? But I want to let you know that you've been under an environment where you've been disappointed over and over and over again. You will learn how to protect yourself from further disappointment by never expecting anything good or anything of God to happen in your life. Somebody heard that. We accept an alternative personality other than what God has. Well, what about this? Is my bad health, depression, or lack of finances just happening? Wow. Now I realize people can make bad decisions and finances and this type of thing, but I know people who've done the right things or as best right they could do, and they can never get ahead. Do you know the enemy knows exactly what to target in your life that will keep you under his oppression? And that's the reason I'm going to teach you how to get to know God in a whole different realm. Just kind of making a installment on it today. We must be willing to move away from our logical explanations that we so commonly accept to investigate in the Spirit. Logic sometimes will make you feel good. Well, nobody else is doing it, so I guess I can't do it either. Really? Well, nobody else on my job gets promoted, or nobody else is getting a raise, so I guess I can't expect one either. Do you know that God appoints? Oh, somebody, let me give you a little evidence here. Joseph was kidnapped and thrown in jail. He's a slave. He has no rights in the culture of Egypt whatsoever. But because God's anointing was in his life, before it was over, he was second in command and he was ruling the whole place. I want to tell you today, I don't care where you came from, I don't care how meager the means were in your life, that God can take your meager means, he can appoint you as the head, the CEO of any place or any institution on this planet. You need to stop leaving everything in this physical realm, and the spiritual realm overrides us of this physical realm. God says, I want him the head, and you can't stop him. When God says yes, man's no doesn't mean anything. Then you start going, well, Pastor, no one in my history's ever been successful. We're all deadbeats. Thank you for your testimony. Because you're testifying for the devil. You're saying, you held my daddy down, you held my mama down, you held my sister down, my brother down. You can hold me down too. That's our lot in life. We're just all a bunch of people that are being held down by the devil. I come against that curse in the name of Jesus. God's going to turn it around. A couple more little things and I'll leave this thing alone. Disciples of Jesus had victory over demons. Luke chapter 10, verses 17 through 19. You're going to love this. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Let me stop right there. This is before Jesus goes to the cross, dies, was resurrected from the dead, Holy Spirit's imparted at Pentecost, and things change. This is before that all happens. So I want to know right now, what's your excuse? Because the Holy Spirit has been granted to you. What's your excuse for living pitiful? Well, and so let's go a little further with this. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you, read that word for me. Glory. No, read it loud so the devil can hear you. Glory. Say it one more time. Glory. To trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the okay, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Come on. God has given you authority to trample on the things of the enemy. Come on, shout. Glory. Oh, oh, oh. Power over the enemy. Now, see, Pastor, don't get excited. Calm down. Because you're setting people up for disappointment because it doesn't always work that way. Can you find that in the book? Now, here's what I want to help you with this. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had a problem. This is in the Old Testament. King set up, Nebuchadnezzar sets up this. And he says, everybody's going to bow down to it. It's going to get killed. And their resolve was, it doesn't matter what you set up. We only serve God. But here's how it works. They said, O king, live forever. They didn't act out crazy saying, we ain't bowing down to your dumb idol. They said, we know who we serve, and our God's able to deliver us. But here's the part. But even if he doesn't, we will never succumb to the world of the enemy. Your resolve to be faithful to God is the greatest intimidation the enemy has to face. Because he knows whether you mean it or not. Whew. Process that for a moment. Mr. Devil, leave me alone. You get on out of here. Mr. Devil, do you hear me? Leave me alone. The angel gonna come get you. Really? Daniel was in a situation where they said, if you keep praying to your God, you're going to the lion's den. Time for him to pray, hits his knees. He said, do you know that Daniel is still doing what he's not supposed to be doing? They said, well, they throw him in the lion's den. But you know what? There's an opportunity for God to do something. And they're all worried about Daniel's in the lion's den. It's like, oh. And what happens is that in the midst of it all, God spares his life. Matter of fact, let me go back to the story with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Because that's one I really wanted to emphasize. All three of them, they end up in this particular place. Fire. Heat seven times hotter than it ought to be. And they throw them into the fire. Let me ask you a question. How many of you are in the fire right now? Circumstances. It's okay. Wave your hand up. You're going through fiery circumstances. It's okay. Because this is your day. I said, this is your day, if you want it to be. So in the midst of the fire, they throw them in there. Three guys. They go back to take a look. There's four. He says, King, didn't you put three people in here? There's four. But here's what he says. And the fourth one looks like the Son of God. God will show up in the midst of your fiery circumstances, and he'll walk through the fire with you. Come on! I'm getting close to a stopping place, but I'm not ready. So, gives you power over the enemy. He gave them divine protection. We are to rejoice in the fact that we are followers of Jesus rather than one who has power over the devil. Let me give you the right perspective. Do not focus on the fact that you have power over the enemy. Focus on the fact that you're a disciple of Jesus. Because that's what will make a difference in the world. Because you're going to go through stuff. But no matter what, I belong to Jesus. He's the one that takes care of my life. Let me get to this last little place. We must act upon the power. We have to resist the devil. And he will flee from us. James chapter 4, verse 7. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Here's the problem. We forget the first part. Submit to God. Living as a disciple of Jesus, if you're not submitted to him, can I tell you, it won't work. Whatever it is in your life won't work. There's four things I'll finish up with, because this is half the message and we'll get the rest of it next week. Recognize the Spirit of God within you is greater than the power of the devil. 1 John 4:4. Here we go. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Who's them? Ever figure out what them was? Well, them ain't us. That's all. Let me help you with that. You know what them is? It's every spirit, every idea, every philosophy, every person, every demonic force, everything is contrary to God. You have overcome them because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. What you're facing right now, you have overcome them. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what it looks like. You've overcome it because God is greater. Glory. Second one is, we shouldn't be ignorant of the devices used by the devil. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11. Is that the right verse? 2 Corinthians 2, 11. I think you're ahead of me. Maybe. Are we? Well. I got that one on there too. Interesting. Well, I'll use 1 Corinthians 2, 9. And maybe they missed one. It doesn't matter. God has prepared us for great things if we walk in obedience. It says, okay, eyes have not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those whom he loves, who love him. Remember that they used to tell you, you ain't seen nothing yet. Turn to somebody and tell them, you ain't seen nothing yet. God's about to do something that's going to blow your mind. Maybe the last scripture, worship choir, you can come back up here with this last one. Our battle is not just our flesh, but spiritual forces that are constantly opposing us. Ephesians 6:12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. You are looking at the wrong target. I know some people treat you very evilly, have said terrible things against you, and you're trying to find a way to get even with them. You're going after the wrong target. Go to the headmaster over them, and God can do something. See, when we get into personality struggles, and we focus on folks, you know what will enter into our heart? Hatred. Malice. All types of ideas. And you know those things will corrupt your spirit, and so you cannot really be who God wants you to be? We'll move a little further. It says, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Let me close off today, let you know that there are certain assignments that the enemy gives to people or to demons or to forces, and actually some people who are open to the demonic influence will affect your life. They will. Those of you who are struggling with drug addictions, your best friend will be the first person to offer you drugs. For those who are struggling with other types of addictions, that person you never thought was this kind of a safe person, they'll offer you compromising things to do. You say, I can't believe she even said that. The devil will use anybody that'll listen to him. Now, here's one you're not going to like. The devil can use kids. Sweet little darlings. Little munchkins. The devil can get into them and they will act up like they have lost their mind. But greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I've got to stop right now. Bow your heads with me, everybody. This is kind of an introduction. Just bow your heads, everybody. As I was preaching... I tried to teach, but today I got a little preaching thing going. The Holy Spirit revealed some things to me that I need to confirm in you. If I were to say words for you, they'd go like this. I am tired of living under the oppression of the devil. I am done with doing his bidding. I want to do what God wants me to do. I need to tell you, God is greater. I want you to put every failure that you've had behind you, because God will hold you accountable for this day. His grace is renewed every morning. And there's something about it, the way I'm saying it, that someone here has hope for the very first time. I don't know who you are, but you have hope for the very first time. That God is going to complete what he started in you. I'm going to pray a prayer in just a moment. And I'm going to pray it prophetically. What that means is I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to say some things through me that I don't even know I'm going to say yet. But it's going to go right to the place in your heart where it's going to unravel. It's going to dislodge those oppressive forces that have held you away from totally surrendering to God. In the name of Jesus. In the name that's above every other name, I come against the forces of evil. I come against the forces of demon spirits that have harassed, that have captured, that have hijacked the emotions, the hearts, the future destiny of people who have desired to serve Jesus. Lord, this does not just apply to those who have known addictions. It applies to those who have secret addictions. Not to substances, but to attitudes and platitudes that cannot be noticed. I'm here to serve notice on the devil. That no longer will they be under his auspices, no longer will they be under his control. But they're going to break free, and they're going to believe the word of God. They're going to move from this physical realm to the spiritual realm, where they call upon Jesus, where they call upon the Heavenly Father, who will set them free to be the person they've always wanted to be. In the name of Jesus. Now, this is not just for unsaved folks. This is for folks who are claiming to know Jesus. That if you can believe God, this is a day of your freedom, then a few moments as we stand and we just sing a chorus of a song, you need to come. We're going to let you do business with God. We ain't going to put a hand on you until later on we may pray for you, but you're going to come to do business with God first. You need to tell God what you need him to do, and he will do it. Everyone stand your feet. Everybody stand. Everybody stand. Now, if you mean to do business with God, come right now. I don't need to coax you. I don't need to beg you to do anything. Do it right now in Jesus' name. Come, 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 come right now. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Don't you wait for your friend to come. You come. Because God's talking to you. Because you heard what God said to you. That's right. Come in Jesus' name. Come right now in Jesus' name. Come, 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 come. You talk to God about it. Don't talk to me. You talk to God about it in Jesus' name. That's right, in Jesus' name. Lord, I break off every curse, every lie, every deception in Jesus' name. There's more of you that need to come. Do not miss this opportunity, because it's for you today in Jesus' name. That's right. Come on in Jesus' name. Come on. Come on. Come and get it. Come and get it. She's running. She wants it. Come on. Yes, Lord. That's right. Come on in Jesus' name. There are more young people coming. Come on in Jesus' name. Come on. Come on.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.